Well, tonight we're talking about creation is waiting. And as you saw on your email that we send out every service about the meeting and announcing what I'm going to be speaking on in a brief excerpt of that, I sometime this year preached this message, but it won't exactly be this message. It was a very, very, very condensed word to our ministers at our ICFM group. I just have been prompted by the Lord and finally released to share this with you. So let's quickly go to Romans 8, verse 19 in your notes, and look at this scripture with me. It says in the New King James, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, whenever you see the, T-H-E, the announces a definite article, the creation. So there's an issue here about the creation. So what is it, what is creation that's spoken of here, and what is creation waiting for? Or better yet, whom is creation waiting for? And I want to explain to you what creation is in just a moment. Look at John chapter 1, verses 3, and on your notes it says 3 and 4, but it's actually 3 through 5. And I found something in here that I could just, I may just come back at another time and preach a whole different message just on those three verses. But we used the first verse last Sunday, but it says, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was made, nothing was made that was made." But now I want you to watch very carefully with me in verse number 4. "In Him was life." Everybody say, "In Him was life." And then it says, "And the life was the light of men." You've probably heard that verse before and recognized it, but I want to see it again. "In Him was life, and the life," what life? "The light that was in Him was the light of men." Verse 5 says, "And the light shines." So what light shines? The light that was in Him, and that life was the light of men. Or we could say it this way, that light shines in the born-again man or the born-again believer. Verse 5 again, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, that's what the King James says, but the Greek says, "or overcome it." So when you think about the darkness did not comprehend the light, you think about the darkness did not understand the light. Now, how many know that oftentimes darkness does not understand light? So that is not a false statement. However, the Greek says, the darkness did not overcome it. That's very important. As a matter of fact, let me read real quickly. This is not in your notes. From the Moffat translation, it says, "Through Him all existence came into being." I want you to think about that tonight. Through Him, through Jesus, all existence came into being. No existence came into being apart from Him. "In Him life lay, and this life was the light for men. Amid or amidst the darkness, the light shone, but the darkness did not master it." Oh, I love that translation. So the darkness did not overcome it. The word "son" in Romans 8:19, it said that creation waits, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The word "sons" here, as in sons of God, means a son, figuratively. Why figuratively? Because there's something deeper. It means kinship. It means a child. And is referring to the kinship of God or God's kin. Now, I don't know tonight if you can see yourself as God's kin, but you are God's kin. You are a kin of God. Yes, I know we've heard and we've sang, "I am a friend of God," and Abraham was declared a friend of God. You know, there's a lot of family members that are also friends. You know my best friend in the world is? My wife. My best friend, my buddy, my pal is my wife. So even relation can be friends. But it means kin. Look at the Amplified. It says, "For even the whole," and I haven't altered the Amplified at all, For even the whole creation, and then he prefaces all nature, that's very important tonight, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons or God's kin to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. So whatever creation is, it is waiting for not only the kin of God, the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, but for their sonship, in other words, what's in them, to be revealed. So they're not only waiting for you and I to manifest. Does that mean get born again? No, we're already born again. But there's something more, and we're going to see this tonight. But also for what they possess in Christ to be manifested. Now, I think yesterday was a prime example of what we manifest in Christ being manifested when people spoke to storms and tornadoes and they actually backed off. When people can speak to heavy rains or heavy winds and command them to back off, to cease, and they do. That is the what we possess in Christ being manifested. All right, and then we're going to leave 2 Corinthians 5 alone. I've actually X'd it out. But what is all of God's creation waiting for? They wait for God's sons and daughters to be made known or manifested. They wait for the revealing of or the disclosing of their sonship. So when we think about a son of God, first and foremost, we think about Jesus. Jesus is God's son. Can you say amen? All right, and then second of all, we are adopted as sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there in your notes, Galatians 4, verse 5 and 6 says that we might receive the adoption as sons. The Greek says the placing as a son. And because you are sons or kin, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Now, you've heard me talk about this before, but I have a new light in which to share with you pertaining to this verse tonight. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. Now, remember, we read in John 1 and verse 4 and 5, that the Spirit of Christ that's in you is the light referred to in John 1, verse 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, and darkness does not overcome it. If our sonship is to be disclosed, then we're going to have to understand who we are and understand what we possess. And if what's in us is really understood, that's the first step, understanding what's in you, understanding what God did in Christ for you, that's the first step, understanding that, then the next is that it's disclosed, it's revealed. In other words, you've got to do something. Well, if that's the case, then who do you think we're going to look like and act like and talk like? See, you got to go back to the Word of God, to the Gospels in particular, and see what Jesus looked like, what you read in Scripture and portray, the picture you can see of Him, and what He acted like and what He talked like. And don't put on that false humility and saying, I could never be like Jesus. You were just told that you have been adopted as the kin of God, the same as Jesus. As a matter of fact, we're very familiar with the Scripture that says we're not only heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with Christ, joint being equal. If you have a joint checking account or you have a joint partner in a venture of some sort, then you have an equal heir or someone who shares. In other words, someone who has the exact same rights and privileges that you do. And we'll also bear that out in Scripture tonight. So the first thing we have to do is accept the fact, here it comes, accept the fact that we walk in the same anointing as Jesus, plus. I'm going to say plus because I'm going to show you something. Now, some of you have seen this before. Keep this in mind. The light of man is the Spirit of Christ, God's Son, in you. So this, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. See, I have the Spirit of Christ in me. And do you know that that Spirit of Christ, that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the light that shines? It's what creation is waiting to be disclosed. That's your sonship. All right? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, because tonight we want to quickly understand some things about Jesus. If we're going to understand being a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God, and that sonship is to be disclosed or revealed, then we got to understand some things about Jesus. We'll not look at a bunch of miracles and things, but just some things that he said. Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel." Everybody say, preaching the gospel. It said he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Well, we could say tonight that for the world, for creation, that the time is at hand and the kingdom of God is at hand. Or time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Notice this big word, repent. I know that there's a religious rendition of what repent means, but we're going to look at something else tonight. He said, repent and believe in the gospel. You say, well, that's the basics of Christianity. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well, it kind of is, and it kind of isn't. It kind of is, and that's how you get started. But it kind of isn't, and that's how you keep going. Believe in the gospel. All right, so we know that the word repent is the Greek word metanoia, and I didn't put it in your notes, but it means to believe in the gospel. You've got to first change your thinking. Change the way you think. If you see yourself as a puny, defeated individual in Christ, I'm a son of God, but I can't believe for healing. I'm a son of God, but I can't believe for storms to go away. I'm a son of God, and I know Jesus spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still," but I can't do that. I know that Jesus actually started out on a trip. How many of you ever taken a family trip? All right, you know what? When you start out, here's some good advice for you. Start out saying, "Let's go to the other side." You're not understanding that, again, what we've been sharing on Sunday morning about reigning in life is that there's power, according to Ecclesiastes, that where the word of a king is, there's power. And so as kings and priests in Christ, Revelation 1, there is power in your words. And when you say, "Let us pass to the other side," and that's what you expect to happen, guess what's going to happen? You will pass with no issue on your journey. You say, "But Jesus was on his journey in the boat and a storm came up." Yes, and he still intended to get to the other side, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible said there was a great wind before, and the Bible said afterwards there was a great calm. The word "great" there, actually in the Greek, is the word "mega." There was a mega storm, and what was needed was a mega calm. Praise the Lord. All right, now, so he said, repent or change the way you think and believe the gospel. If you've ever been in sales before, this will say something to you. Never try to sell a product that you don't first believe in yourself. Don't go telling somebody else about the power of God and how to pray for the sick and how to command finances to come in and your financial situation to increase if you don't first believe that yourself. It doesn't change the truth. You can have a preacher who is a heathen, who is a scoundrel in the background, and speak the truth of God's word, and it could bless someone, not because of the scoundrel, but because of the power of the word of God. Okay? Now, we don't want that, and we don't adhere to that, but the truth is, he says that we are to believe the gospel. So never try to sell a product that you don't first believe in yourself. So my question for you tonight is, do you believe in the gospel? I mean, do you really believe in the gospel? Well, the gospel is something special. It is the good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. And it's taught by Jesus himself. And I say the gospel is not bad news because it's not a gloom and doom message that is being preached liberally in our country today or around the world. Because I know, because I'm in touch with pastors all over the world, and I hear a lot about God did this and God did that, and there's disaster, and God let my children die, and God let my family be destroyed, and God let a tornado come and take our house, and my car got, and God messed up my car so I would be humble and serve him. I wouldn't want to serve a miser like that. If you want to live in the old covenant, then you can serve a God like that because he did some things to get people's attention. But in the new covenant, I'm going to prove to you Sunday morning that there is no longer any wrath of God left. It was it was nailed to the cross. I'm going to prove to you why and how you can conquer sin. We're going to be talking about the three enemies of that come against us in reigning in life. There's three enemies. One is having a sin consciousness. Always going around saying, I'm going to try real hard not to sin. Why don't you just try real hard just be in the righteousness of God in Christ? And the second one we'll be sharing, it's going to take us a few weeks to get to it, is having a sickness consciousness. Always talking sickness, always thinking sickness. And the third one is having a poverty consciousness. Always, I mean, we look at the economy and it's bad. And so I heard this, I read it in a letter just yesterday, that we know times are going to be bad. I thought, I don't know what God you're serving, because even though the world system is getting bad and things are rough for the world, why? Because they're the world. But for the believer, increase. Our God supplies all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And then in Matthew 10, verse 1, when Jesus, the Bible said, and when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them something. Wouldn't you like to have a gift from Jesus? Well, he's given you one. Well, this was before the cross, and the Bible said he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, since the cross has now taken place, you and I have power over unclean spirits. And he even told them what to do with them, to cast them out. And to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So now that Jesus has called, first of all, he calls his disciples. So let me ask you this, are you a disciple of Christ? A disciple, actually another word for disciple is pupil, student. Are you a student of the Word? Because this applies to students of the Word, and I'm talking to students of the Word. First, Jesus calls his disciples to him, and here's the first thing he calls them to. He calls them to not put up with the devil. Do you know that you're called to not put up with the devil? Too many people are putting up with the devil. Why? Well, he's the devil. You've noticed in my devotions, 241 online, you've noticed that when it comes to Satan or the devil, I always put it in lowercase. But doesn't spell check give you, go crazy with you trying to capitalize Satan? Yes, I know how to say ignore. When I have like one I just posted to cfaith.com today, the devil deserves no honor when you pray. Everything's in capital letters except devil. It's all lowercase. He doesn't deserve any honor. Well, the Bible says, according to this verse, that Jesus first called his disciples to not put up with the devil. Say this after me. I will not put up with the lies of the devil. The second thing he called his disciples to do is to not put up with sickness and disease. You don't have to put up with it. Say, I will not put up with sickness and disease. Those are two things I see in the Word of God that Jesus specifically called his disciples to do or to not to do. Don't put up with the devil and don't put up with sickness. But he did tell them to do something. He told them, when you come across an unclean spirit, I've already given you power. He said, cast them out. Cast them out. That doesn't mean you've got to have a prayer line. Faye and I were raised Pentecostal. We've been out of our denomination 30 years, maybe 31 years now. And we know about services. How many of you remember some old-time full gospel meetings where there was demons being cast out? But we got a revelation while we were still in our denomination. We got a revelation that all we had to do is speak and command and they had to leave. We got a Now, that revelation didn't fit our denomination. You would think that the results would be what would be appreciated, but that didn't fit our denomination. But we learned to speak to demons and they had to go. Well, that's the first criteria as a disciple, is that you are to cast the devil out. He said, you have power. I give you power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And then secondly, he said, I've also given you power to heal the sick and to heal disease. You say, well, isn't that really strange? Because, I mean, shouldn't it be God that's doing the healing? Well, just hang on with me. We're not done yet. Don't judge me till we get to the end of the message. And then, if you judge me, there's a scripture for you in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, if you'll judge your own self, you won't be judged. Well, let me say this to you. Sick people are waiting for the revealing or the disclosing of the sons of God. They're waiting. There are sick people in the city of Rolla that's waiting for you to know that you're a son and daughter of God, and that your sonship, it's time for it to be revealed. It's time for somebody to be touched by what you discover inside of you. All right, look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. How many going somewhere? You say, yeah, I'm going home when you quit. Well, hang on, that's not what I'm talking about. Because Jesus said, starting out, and as you go... Everybody say, as you go. Now, he wasn't talking to just preachers. He was talking to his disciples. So I want to ask you again, are you a disciple of Christ? There's three criteria in the Word of God that I am aware of that defines you as a disciple. One, that you love one another. He said, then so shall you be my disciples. I wish I had got all three of these down here tonight. And two, that you abide in my Word. And he said, so shall you be my disciples. And the third one, he says, that you bear much fruit. So love one another. If you love one another, love the brethren, love the sisters, love one another, and you're a student of the Word, and you bear much fruit, you are a disciple of Christ. You are a pupil, a learner in Christ. And so he said to his disciples, as you go, preach. Well, I'm not a preacher. They didn't give me a credential. You don't have to have a credential to preach. And you don't have to have a credential or even being called into a pulpit ministry to share the good news with someone. Because the world is not waiting for a preacher to tell them the good news. They're actually waiting for the church to tell them the good news. They're actually waiting for people just like you to share with them. And preachers can do that too. But they want to hear the good news. Well, here's some good news. He said, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right? The kingdom of heaven's at hand. Somebody fell down the grocery store and broke their leg. Where's the kingdom of heaven that's supposed to be at hand? Run into somebody that's got a need, they don't have any money, have any food, and where's the kingdom of heaven that's at hand? And I could go through a multiplicity of situations, but he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here's the kingdom of heaven. Here it is. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do you believe that you have received all of these things tonight? Then there's the instruction in the Word of God that says now what you're to do with it is go freely give. What am I going to give, Pastor? Go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Didn't cost you anything, cost him everything. And he said, you can freely give it. Listen to this. Don't try to tell people how to get into heaven or how to get into the kingdom of heaven. Just demonstrate to them what the kingdom of heaven is, and they'll want to get in. Do you know that the greatest advertisement you can give to a sinner is not telling them you're bad and you're going to hell if you don't straighten up your life? You ever told a sinner that before? If you don't straighten up, you're going to split hell wide open. And they're sick, and they're on a breathing machine, and asthma, and they're huffing and puffing and can't hardly. Why don't you just show them what the kingdom of God is? They'll say, how do I get in? Just release the healing. You mean pray for sinners, Pastor? Where do you think you started at? You release the kingdom to an unbeliever, and they'll become a believer because they saw something that they've never seen in any other Christian before, other than, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. All right, look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs, some very specific signs. Everybody say, these signs.
These signs.
And these signs will follow those who believe. So I have to ask you again, do you believe in the gospel? Here's what he says, in my name, count the they wills. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's pretty serious stuff. And what does he say about that? That these signs that we just went through follow those who believe. So if you're a believer, you got to believe in something. Well, I believe that the sun's going to come up in the morning and I got to go to work. Well, I believe that tomorrow night the sun's going to go down and I'm going to go to bed and go to sleep. Don't you believe in anything more than that? How about believe in the gospel? And the good news, the gospel, the good news is that you have been commissioned to cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, that doesn't mean snakes, although you have authority. Let me tell you what creation means. When he said all creation earnestly yearns, I tried to read it to you in the scripture. All created things that God commanded to come into existence, that he put Adam in charge of, all created things. What created things? Bugs, snakes, animals, demons, trees, storms, everything. Every created thing, all of creation, and you have authority. But do you know you only have authority, you can only exercise authority to the degree that you believe in the authority that you have. So if you don't believe it, you won't exercise it. You can take up serpents, and if any deadly thing comes in, how many know they put so many preservatives and so many additives in food today, there is something called food poisoning. It's a good thing to bless your meal before. I think I heard one time, there's only one time in Scripture that talks about blessing your meal afterwards, but I think the individual said, make sure you bless it real quick afterwards. But we bless our meal. Why do we bless it? Why do we ask God, Lord, let we receive your blessing over our food in the name of Jesus, because it purifies it. And so if something has been stuck in there, or something is predestined to make you sick or to harm you, you already have authority over that. Don't go around drinking bottles of poison. There's a name for that. It's called dumb. Okay? That's just dumb. That's not faith. That's just dumb. And it said, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will expect the sick to recover. You ever went up to someone, just laying there and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk? Well, no, you know, Jesus did that in the Bible. I'm not Jesus. You're a son and a daughter of God. All right? So if you believe in the gospel, and the Bible says these signs will accompany those who believe. All right, real quickly, I've given you a definition for dominion. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam dominion over the whole earth. Listen to me, church, the whole earth. The same dominion you have today over the whole earth. You say, I don't have that kind of faith, Pastor. Do you know that a police officer has the authority from the police department and a badge on his chest, a gun on his hip, to say to a semi-tractor, halt! And at some point, generally, a semi-tractor trailer driver will hit the brakes and they'll slow down and stop. He has the authority. Don't you understand your authority over all creation? All right? Look at this word, dominion. Radah in the Hebrew, a primitive root word. It means to tread down, to subjugate. The word subjugate means to bring under control or to conquer, specifically to crumble off. To come to, make to have dominion, come to dominion, make to dominion, to have dominion, prevail against, reign. There's that word reign. Make to rule or make to a ruler or rule over or to take. So we're talking about Adam's authority, or we could say Adam's anointing. And you have an anointing. The Bible says First John chapter 2, and I forget the verse, I think it's verse 20. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One in the King James Version. But actually, that could be translated, you have an anointing from the Holy One. All right, let's move on to the next verse, because we're talking about authority here, the authority that you walk in. 1 Timothy 2, verses 13 and 14. I want to show you something that maybe you've never seen before. And Adam was formed first, then Eve. That didn't make him better. It's just the way that God chose to do it. As a matter of fact, Adam was both male and female until God separated the female gender from him. Verse 14, I want you to notice these first five words. And Adam was not deceived. Now, I've heard people talk about Adam was not deceived in the sense of Adam wasn't the problem, it was the woman who caved in. But we're not seeing what it's saying. Adam was not deceived. In other words, if someone's trying to take you for something, someone's trying to con you out of something, and you already know what they're trying to con you out of, you know that a con is coming, your eyes are wide open. You're not deceived, you deliberately gave in. And this is not why men, why God made women the weaker vessel. That got nothing to do with that. Women are the weaker vessel because God made a man to protect them and to be their protector in all kinds of things. And of course, there's a lot of strong women that I've known some that look like they didn't need anybody's protection. And Adam was not deceived. The one that was tricked was the woman. But the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. So Adam knowingly gave up his authority or his anointing over the whole earth, and he gave it up to Satan. It's very important that we understand that, because I'm about to show you something. Some of you have seen this before, but we're going to look at it again. When Jesus came and died, was buried, and rose again, he regained, or he took back would be another word, he took back Adam's authority from Satan. Now, think about this. Jesus had authority, isn't that right? The Bible said in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus had authority. He had the authority to go around healing the sick and helping people. All right? So think about this. Satan deceived Adam and Eve, took their authority, and he has operated in authority throughout the entire Old Testament and most of the Gospels. But there was also Jesus. I want you to think about whose authority is greater. Well, that's no question. I mean, Jesus is Jesus. No, but think about it. Satan had the authority that God gave men. But Jesus comes along, and he takes the authority that Satan had from men with his authority. So it's obvious that the anointing in Jesus was greater. Now remember, again, and this could get me thrown out of a lot of places, but Jesus only operated in partial authority. Well, how do you know that? Well, we're going to look at it one more time. See, Adam gave up his God-given authority to Satan. But look at Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now, wait a minute. Because prior to that, Jesus did a lot of miracles. Prior to that, there were blind eyes opened. There was the lame made to walk. There were people raised from the dead. But now, all of a sudden, after the resurrection, Jesus has all authority. That's because he didn't have all authority until he took the rest of the authority from Satan. Now he has all authority. So it says, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This was after the resurrection. Go therefore. And he says, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Everybody say teaching them. This actually means discipling them, making pupils of people, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So what we see in Jesus is what we're to share with others. We don't need to share them about how big our ministry is or how great the things we're doing. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. So he says, all authority now I have in the heavenlies, the spirit realm, and on the earth. And then he says, go therefore. And I've shared this with you before, but the go therefore was the commissioning of the church, you and I. So now, the authority that Satan had that he stole from Adam, and his own authority, all balled up together, is the authority that he gave to you and I. Well, let me show you something again in Scripture. In John 14, verse 12, it says, he who believes in me... What are we supposed to do? Believe in the gospel. Everybody say, believe in the gospel. He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, what was it that Jesus commanded us to do? Because we're supposed to teach the things that we've heard Jesus command us to do. Well, here's what he commanded us. He commanded us to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Amen. And he said, greater works. Have you ever heard that scripture before? And you know what usually is taught with that verse of scripture? Well, the reason Jesus said you'll do greater works is because by the time it gets to us, there's going to be billions of more people. No, that wasn't why. It was because we have all authority in the heavenlies and on earth. There's only one area you don't have authority. You ready for this? Just one area you don't have authority. You don't have authority over people. And let me just put it this way, because maybe you're in a job where someone has authority over you. You don't have all authority over people, okay? But we don't have authority over people, but we have authority over demons that work in people or work and lie in their mind. If you've got an individual troubling you on the job, listen, fighting with that person won't help you. But if you'll come against the spirit that's prompting them, you'll be successful with that individual. Amen. All right, so we can do greater works because we have a greater authority to operate in us. Romans 8, verse 19, again, this is from the Amplified. For even the whole creation, all nature, all created things, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. That means for, and this is going to sound funny, y'all just try to take this in the right way, but what they're saying is that all of creation is waiting for believers to come out of the closet. Quit hiding. We're the sons of God. We're the sons and daughters of God. We're filled with the power of God. All the Godhead bodily resides in us. As a matter of fact, there's another scripture I'm going to show you in just a moment. It says that they're waiting for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. James 1, verse 22 in the NIV. Do not merely listen to the word and so be deceived, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know, we're about to land the first fully accredited Christian university in Rolla. When you think of a university, you think of Missouri S&T. You don't think of some little church that is no way going to stay little. Starting a university. Why don't you just call it a Bible study? Why don't you just call it a Bible college? Because it's a university. It is what it is. But you don't need a Bible degree in theology to believe the gospel. What you need to do is just believe what it says and do what it says. He said, again, do not merely listen to the word, and listening's good, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. All right, 1 Corinthians 2, we're just about done tonight. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5, the New Living Translation. Paul says this, and my message and my preaching, I want you to hear this tonight. My message and my preaching were very plain. Don't make it complicated. It's not complicated. It's the good news. He said they were very plain. He said, I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. What do you think Paul preached? Well, in the days to come, I'm going to show you in Scripture what Paul preached. The message Paul preached was Jesus Christ. But there's some more. All right? So he says, the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. He said, I did this so that you might trust in the power of God rather than human wisdom. There's a lot of things we could do to act more like a lot of churches we've all been in. But we're not trying to attract your attention and say, you know, it's just like I highly discourage people from calling me Dr. Henshu. I get a call once in a while like that. Or Pastor Henshu. You know, I'm just Bill or Pastor Bill or whatever, and I do answer to whatever sometimes. That was slow, but you got it. All right. But the truth is, we're trying to draw attention to Jesus Christ, not to a man. We're trying to draw attention to the Lord Jesus Christ so that the power of the Holy Spirit will be operated among us. God's creation, all creation, good and bad, whether you like your likes and dislikes about creation, is waiting for our sonship to be revealed. And it's only revealed by our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why teaching the Word is so important to me. That's why the number one vision in this church is to get the Word of God into people no matter what. And that's why we write flyers and have devotions around the world and do everything we can to get the gospel into people. That's why. Secondly, our vision is to get people healed. Not just physically, although that's important, but also to get people healed emotionally from old hurts and wounds that people carry around for years and years and years and years. Because a lot of times you get the emotions healed, the body just heals itself. Now, we know that's the power of God. But a lot of healings in our bodies are prevented by something else going on. Not always, but it can be. All right, so God's just asking us to do this. Believe in the gospel and demonstrate the kingdom to others. How many of you have family that, you know, and you don't have to raise your hand, but you have family that you don't really, you know, see eye to eye on, and you could talk Bible all day long and end up in arguments and fights, and maybe you don't, maybe you do. Here's the point to that. When your family has a need, I'll tell you the greatest way to get their attention is just to demonstrate the kingdom of God. When you have somebody that doesn't like you, it's their choice. When they got a need, do this. Demonstrate the kingdom of God. Demonstrate what Jesus said. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, my goodness, if the kingdom of God's in you, then it's itching to get out. I mean, not leave you, but get out on somebody else. Deliver the kingdom of God, praise the Lord. We're sons and daughters of God. Operating in kingdom authority is really easy. Okay, it's not hard. It's been made complicated for too many years. Here's how easy it is. Operating in kingdom of authority is provided through a close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how many Christians there are, and I don't have a number, any statistic whatsoever, who don't have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus? Just know they're saved and I'm going to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I won't be sick anymore. When I get to heaven, I won't have poverty anymore. When I get to heaven, everything will be fine. It can be fine here. You don't start in eternity the day you die and go to heaven. You started in eternity the day you were born. When you became an adult, you got to make a decision. For Christ, against Christ. But you're already in eternity. Matter of fact, you know how I preach funerals? Someone asked me one time, said, which do you prefer to preach, funerals or weddings? I said, funerals, any day. I mean, I'll do weddings too. I love weddings. But funerals. I have an audience who is so broken, their hearts are just split wide open. They're going to hear everything I'm saying. I'm going to preach the gospel to them. Preach the kingdom of God. Preach Jesus Christ to them. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. It wasn't Jesus that took their loved one. That's religious nonsense. A close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let me say it one more time. Everybody that's a Christian has a relationship with God. We think relationship is how tight you are. That's not relationship. We have a relationship because we got born again. I am the kin of God. But how much fellowship you have determines how intimate your relationship is. Husbands and wives know this for a fact. If we ignore one another, we don't visit, we don't talk, we don't have that fellowship, our relationship kind of gets strained a little bit. But fellowship with one another, fellowship with Jesus. Wake up in the morning, blessing the Lord. Go to sleep at night, blessing the Lord. Amen. My wife knows that she is important to me. I love her. 38 years of marriage, 38 and about a half years of marriage, and I thank God for her, but Jesus is my number one relationship. I love Jesus. And we'll tell anybody to this day, if you want to keep your marriage alive, you want your marriage to be successful, here's how you do it. Keep God first. Keep God first. Not just as a couple, but as individuals also. There's nobody I'd rather talk to. Matter of fact, I love talking to Jesus because my wife kind of understands me. She's learned who I am in 38 years, but he understands me better. He understands me. I love talking to Jesus. Study his word. Keep looking at the finished work of the cross. There are two things someone said that are not being preached today and they're robbing the church. One is the cross, and the other is the blood of Jesus. Keep looking to the finished work of the cross. Keep looking at how Jesus' blood was shed for us. And when we do that, we'll learn something very valuable. Here it is. It shows us how we can disclose our sonship to all creation. Take authority over situations. But Pastor, what if I'm not in charge? I didn't say you have to go in and announce, say, hey, Dr. Bill is here. Everybody hold it. I'm in charge. Don't you know how to speak to spirits? You don't have to announce your presence. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over that situation. What do you do when you see a wreck? First thing I do is pray. Bad weather, first thing I do is pray. We start speaking to that stuff. Here's what you need to think of. How do you speak to it? Do you speak to it like, I sure hope it don't come my way, Jesus, 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 Jesus? Or do you speak to it like you're in charge? There's no demon, no lie from the enemy that's going to get by with this. In the name of Jesus, back off. Back off. All of creation's waiting for your sonship to be revealed. And it's only going to happen by you stepping out and just being who you are in Christ and just say, hey, let me tell you the good news. Do you know why? They've heard the bad news long enough. Amen? Anybody get anything out of this? Praise the Lord.